This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you back. Hour two, Married to the Market. That's our guy, Josh Applebaum. Let's go ahead and throw up our Bachelor theme there. This is my favorite graphic that we have at the network. There's Josh just breaking down the market. Of course, VSiN betting analyst Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights. What's up, Josh? How are we?
I'm doing great, guys. Patrick, Dustin, great to be with you. And yeah, married to the market, married to Elise. And you know, no one knows. It's a little bit of both here, Patrick.
Well, it's a good thing. Are you excited? Well, I guess we'll leave the Patriots out of this because you do have a best bet tonight in the preseason. Now, before you get to your best bet, let's talk about the preseason. A lot of unders and a lot of dogs. Have you been dipping your toe thus far, Mr. Applebaum?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the preseason, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago when we got back going here on Sharp Money. I think you got to pick a lane. Either you take it seriously and you bet based on information-based bets and combining that with market movement, or you lay off and just say, hey, I'm going to use this time to maybe recharge my batteries, act like a scout. Maybe I won't bet on these games, but I'll watch them, kind of get familiarized with the different players, the depth charts. But for me, it's always been, hey, I want to get down on the preseason because a long time ago, and you guys know this, we've often heard that sharps say, hey, they love betting the preseason because this is the time when coaches come out and tell you exactly what they're doing. So with that in mind, Patrick, and you're totally right, before we get to my best bet for tonight, we've really seen some huge money-making opportunities this preseason. So you mentioned it. Unders have been the big surprise. Unders in the preseason are now 26-7. Unbelievable. 79%. Nearly 50% return on investment. Preseason dogs have also barked very loudly, 22-11 against the spread, 67%. And one thing that we've noticed too is that if you're going to play a favorite, you probably want to target them on the first half money line. First half money line favorites are 27-6, 74%. Now, anytime you see these stats that are like incredible, you know, 70%, 80%, and remember, we're just trying to beat the juice 52.38% of the time, you got to ask yourself, hey, if I'm now betting an under or a first half favorite or a dog overall, am I kind of chasing a trend that maybe is bound for regression, or am I onto something that still has predictive value? So I think that's one thing that bettors need to think about. Anytime you see something like this, you know, 26-7 under trend, you can say, hey, I'll take the unders because they've been cashing. We got to remember the odds makers maybe taking these totals down quite a bit because unders have been so good, which means you're kind of betting a bad price at this point.
No, it's a great explanation. And Indy Cincy tonight. So Indy, they are going to play the starters. They're laying 6.5 on the road at Cincinnati. We talked about the totals. 34 at DraftKings. FanDuel showing 34.5. Josh, what are you doing with this one tonight?
Yeah, so if you like the under, you know, it did move a little bit, you know, 35.5 down to 34.5, 34. To me, I worry a little bit just because under's been cashing at such an incredible rate, and you're getting almost 80% of bets on the under, so the public is hammering this under. That always scares me when the public is so heavy on one side, especially an under, because they want to root for more points and playing over. So I'm going to walk the tightrope here, Patrick, and I'm going to actually lay the 6.5 with the Colts in this game. Now, a couple factors at play here, and you really hit the nail on the head. Information-based bets, what are the coaches telling us, combined with what the market's doing. So let's start with the coaches. Zach Taylor here came right out and said, no, I don't anticipate playing any starters in this game. He came out and told the media that. But and then you combine that with the other side here that Shane Steichen said, quote, yeah, our starters will play about a quarter and a half. And really, it's the way these coaches are approaching this game. Zach Taylor, this is a throwaway game. You're not going to see Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, any guys you recognize. On the flip side, the Colts and Shane Steichen, they're using this as an old school dress rehearsal. This was another quote by Steichen. He said, this is a big day for us. We've got to get these players ready to roll, and we got to get them out there and get game experience before week one gets here. So right off the bat, the fact that we're seeing the Colts play their guys, Anthony Richardson and starters, versus the Bengals sitting a lot of their guys, that's what caused a massive line move, big steam here in favor of the Colts, -1.5, all the way up to -6.5. Now, if you look at the bet split, this is what gives me some confidence here in still laying the points with the Colts. Obviously, you're not getting the best of the number anymore, although a lot of these -6.5s, Patrick and Dustin, are juiced up like it may go to -7. So even though you might say, hey, I don't like laying a 6.5 when I could have gotten a better number. Well, you still might get some closing line value if it closes 7. And of course, if you're playing Colts, you need 6.5. 7's a key number. You want to cover on the 6.5. But the bet split, Patrick, at DraftKings, only 55% of spread bets are on the Colts, yet they're taking into account 88% of the money. Now, that is a massive bet split. As a data-driven bettor, Patrick, that's what gets me excited. 55% bets, 88% money. Tells me the big money here is going Colts, and I'm going to fade Logan Woodside and Rocky Lombardi. I don't know. Is he any relation to our buddy Michael Lombardi, Patrick? I'm not
sure. Take it easy.
But I want to bet against those guys. Big steam here on the Colts. I'm going to lay the points. This reminds me a lot, speaking of the Patriots, of week one in the preseason. Patriots hosted the Panthers. If you remember, Patrick, they opened like -1. They closed -7. Massive steam in their favor. They won that game 17-3. So I'm going to bank on the Colts in this one. I will lay the 6.5 tonight.
Great breakdown. Now, listen, different strokes for different folks. A Sydney Sweeney thirst trap gets Dustin going. Reverse line movement gets Applebaum going. It's
What can you say, Patrick, Dustin?
We all have our proclivities, is what I would say. By the way, if you haven't subscribed to All Systems Go, Josh's podcast for the football season, you will be missing out. Now, speaking of the big guy, you are betting... I don't know if you're on or fading his Metsies in San Diego tonight, but just be careful here. A Mets, Padres. What do you got, Josh?
Yeah, so I'm going to fade the Mets here, Patrick. I'm going to go. I'm sorry, Dustin. I'm going to go with the Padres in this one. A couple things.
I did too. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Nice. We're on the same side. I love that. Let's start with the pitching matchup. Luis Severino going for the Mets. He's 8-6 with a 3.91 ERA this year. Dylan Cease, remember, picked him up from the White Sox, threw the no-no earlier, 12-9, 3.46 ERA. But we just talked about RLM, bet discrepancies, Patrick. How about just classic steam? We got to resurrect that graphic for the football season. We've seen steam hit San Diego. This game opened the Padres as low as -140, -145. Now they're upwards of -155, maybe even going to -160. So pretty one-sided movement in favor of the Padres. Now, bet split here, they're getting around 75% bets, nearly 80% of dollars. So we're kind of starting to build this case here in favor of San Diego. But also a lot of supplementary factors make me like San Diego tonight. One, non-division favorite. Two teams, two different divisions. Lack of familiarity benefiting, quote-unquote, that better team that's favored to win. You also have some correlative betting here. You got around a -155 favorite with a very low total of 7.5. And if you look at the juice there, Patrick, under -120. So it could be one of those low scoring, 3-1, 3-0 type games. Also, you look at Severino. He's been worse on the road. ERA of nearly 5 versus at home, an ERA of nearly 3. Dylan Cease, Padres are 6-1 his last 7 starts. One system that I love is playing a favorite off a loss against an opponent off a win. Remember, the Mets won yesterday. Padres lost that series finale yesterday against the Twins. That system's nearly 60% this season. And then also San Diego against right-handed pitching, Patrick. They're hitting .272. That's number one in baseball. So I'm going to play the Padres here, shop around, try to get, close to a -155 if you can. And by the way, if you're looking at the rookie of the year, Skeens is pitching tonight for the Pirates, but Jackson Merrill has made a big move. He's now a favorite. He's overlapped Skeens. Merrill's now -150. Could Skeens get limited? If they're out of playoff contention, do the Pirates kind of mail it in the second half of the season here versus Merrill, who's been great, hitting .291, 18 homers with over an 800 OPS. So maybe your last chance here to get a decent number on Jackson Merrill. But just for tonight, Patrick and Dustin, I'm going with the Fathers.
Yeah, and I want to just quickly on variance as far as the baseball numbers. For example, at Westgate there in town, you can lay $1.50 on the Padres. And then in comparison, it's 12 cents more at a FanDuel at -162. If you can get on DraftKings, you can bet $1.55 on the Padres. So that's what Josh was talking about as far as shopping around for the best number there. All I'm going to say, and we have a couple minutes here, so I just want to talk about your Patriots for a second. I don't know if Jerod Mayo is instilling me with confidence yet. He's early on the job, but my early returns are I'm dubious. Tell me why I'm crazy.
I don't think you're crazy, Patrick. I'm a Patriots fan. I track this team every day, and I'm worried about the Patriots too. I mean, you mentioned the win total open 5.5. It's down to 4.5. I'll still take the under 4.5. There's some mock drafts out there expecting the Patriots to get the number one pick. So it could be a very long year for New England. But I think in terms of Mayo, let's just start at the top. You know, he was a good player for the Patriots. He's a good guy, but what experience does he have? He's got no experience on offense. He never was a de facto defensive coordinator. And then look at Alex Van Pelt. The guy's been in the league a while. He played in the league. He's been a QB guru, but he's never actually called plays. But one thing that I'm worried about right now, Patrick and Dustin, is this: they just don't seem to be on the same page. Like every day in the Boston media, it's who's your QB? Is it Brissett or is it Drake May? You know, Alex Van Pelt says it's Brissett. Anytime you ask Gerard Mayo, he keeps saying it's a quarterback competition. So it just doesn't feel like they're on the same page. When, you know, disagree or agree with Belichick, you're always getting one voice. Now you're getting multiple voices. Is it Elliott Wolf? Is it Mayo? Is it Van Pelt? I just think that that disconnect here, especially after trading a guy like Judon, this sounds and feels to me like it's going to be a very long year. I'd rather sit Drake May, you know, again, but I think once the Patriots start 0-5, 0-6, all the Bostonians, the townies, they're going to get their Dunk's coffee and demand that Drake May plays. Do the Patriots have the stones to sit him, which I think they should? I don't know about that, Patrick. I think they might kind of, you know, fall into the demands of the fans and play Drake May before he should play. Again, I'll be rooting against them all year. If they're a dog getting points, maybe I'll take him in that spot. But give me the under 4.5. I think it's going to be a very long year in my neck of the woods in New England.
I'm not trying to tell Gerard Mayo how to run his team, but what I took from what you just said is he may want to introduce himself to his offensive coordinator and get on the same page. Call me crazy.
I would agree, Patrick. I would agree 100%.
Hi, I'm Gerard. I'm the head coach. Van Pelt, oh, you run the offense? Let's go ahead and get in line with how we're handling this quarterback situation. That's just me. All system, great job, Josh. We're all over since, excuse me, Indy tonight. And then let's go Friars, the Padres. Married to the market, all systems go is the podcast, VSiN betting analyst, Josh Applebaum. Josh, send Elise and Meadow our best.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great night.
Talk to you next week. We're coming back with the Giants and Jets next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, got a lot to do over the next hour and 45 as we welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. In Los Angeles, we are monitoring a game we've been betting, and it looks like our A's, that's right, our A's, have jumped out to an early 2-0 lead, bottom two. So we still have runners on first and second, just one out. Maybe we can add to it a little bit here. The big guy with a nice little handicap start on the A's. Now, we did get confirmation. We've got, I think it's Andrew and our buddy Larry in the closet running the show today. They're Vegas natives, and they agreed. They don't want the A's. They'd prefer their own team. But they then said they'd prefer the Rays because it's actually a well-run organization, unlike the A's, which are a disaster.
Yeah, that'd be great. We were just kind of bringing up the Rays as a hypothetical. The Rays do have a stadium deal to stay down in St. Pete.
So. Yeah, they're going
to
build a new one, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So that is the only issue with that one. But I get where they're coming from. Like, I wouldn't just want another hunk of garbage bad team that's leveraging my city to potentially play better. I'd want a team that is finding creative ways to win like Tampa has for over a decade now.
Like, for example, I went to a Las Vegas Aces game mostly because Kelsey Plum was playing, but I did go.
It's advanced
scouting.
And
I was sitting right behind, and rest in peace to Love, because guess who I was sitting right behind during the game? Darren Waller. And he was going, he was gassing his boo up during the game. Kelsey Plum went nuts, hit like five threes. It was awesome. I was cheering for it too. You know what I'm saying, big guy? But anyway, they divorced. That's unfortunate. But what is fortunate is it lets you know exactly how Vegas feels about, like, the Aces vibe, a WNBA team, was off the charts.
Yeah.
Why? Born and raised.
Yeah.
UGK, born and raised. The Raiders, doesn't feel like their team. They don't care. The A's, kind of the same thing. So the Aces, it's good vibes there.
I'll take some shots, though, but the Aces also win, and that plays a role in this. The Knights won right away, right? The Raiders haven't been winning, and that's probably part of the deal of why the acceptance isn't quite there, and that's why this city doesn't want the Oakland A's to come here. Every town wants a winner. Every town's a front runner. The key with baseball is, can you handle the ups and downs of a long schedule where you're going to know going into some years your team's not in contention? No one's in it every single year.
Here's the cool thing, and we'll get on into the Giants and Jets. Here's the cool thing about Vegas. We mentioned there's like 10 roads, but it's still such a there's a lot of people, but it's still such a small city as far as logistically. So, for example, when you go to Allegiant Stadium, which is right off the strip where the Raiders play, you know, you see it on television. It looks like the Darth Vader ship. I left my home in Henderson. 15 minutes later, I'm in the parking lot. It's easy to get in and out of. It's not like SoFi where they don't even allow Uber. You know, there's 10 billion people here. I had to pay $250 to go 5 miles to get a rental car, like, or whatever that is. I think I was riding literally when I left SoFi. It was a disaster. In a stretched limo by myself because I literally just couldn't get home. Not because I was flexing.
Wait, you just found a random guy? You just jumped in with a random guy?
Dude, I said no to a million of them. And then finally, he was like, you won't be able to get an Uber here. And that's the difference between a Los Angeles and a Las Vegas. Like, you can literally just get in and out of Allegiant Stadium. It's like a small city. It's a great experience. That's what I'm saying.
I still haven't been.
So you're going to say, why don't you move back to Las Vegas? I think I have to. That's your answer.
This is your way.
The big guy.
This is what you do. You talk yourself into it, right? You talk yourself. You can, and this town will talk themselves into the A's once they get here.
Can you talk yourself into the Jets this weekend? So the Giants are taking on the Jets. Officially, it's a home game for the Jets, but they rent from the Giants. So let's talk about this. This number opened the Giants lane 1. It's up to the Giants laying 2.5 at the Jetsies. I'm going to lay it with the Giants, and here's the reason. First off, you're not going to see Daniel Jones. Like, can we be fair? And I was listening to Phil Simms talk about this. Of course, he had the terrible interception
It was pretty bad.
He was freaking awesome the rest of the game. The rest of his snaps, I should say. Like, he recovered. He played well. The Daniel Jones hate has got me now liking Daniel Jones more than I ever have because it's gone so far the other way. I'll leave that alone. My assumption is you're not going to see Jones in week 3. Drew Lock's dealing with the hip. So what I like about this, I think you're just going to see DeVito the whole entire game.
Yeah.
This is what, on the other side, it's already been announced that Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, so it's Peasley and Martinez. I'll take DeVito. Just valuable snaps for him. 3-3 last year as a starter. It's a 2.5 number. It's pretty simple for me, this handicap.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I've retired from the defending Daniel Jones rally that I've been on. You know, I went from,
that's fair.
I hated the pick, then I defended the pick, then I defended him, and now it's just the problem with Daniel Jones is I think he looks really good at times where he doesn't have to make quick decisions. The second there's a rush, he just forgets everything he was planning to do and doesn't do anything. Either takes a sack or doesn't get a good pass off, rushes his throw, rushes his footwork. He's a really frustrating player because I think skill set wise, he should be really good. I think it's his head. I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. I don't know if it's just not being a quick processor of the game. That's the issue with Daniel Jones. I like where you're coming from with the handicap, though. This is kind of the time of year Tommy DeVito's built for. They're definitely not going to play Lock with the injury. They can't risk losing Daniel Jones with what he means to the salary cap. This is where Tommy DeVito tries to prove he belongs in the NFL still. And on the other side, I low-key like the Adrian Martinez thing. I think there's a chance the Jets think they have something with him as a backup in case Rodgers goes down and Tyrod Taylor isn't the answer anymore. I don't know how much we see of Adrian Martinez as well. So because of that, I'd lean with you on the Giants.
May I ask you a question? You oddly get into certain players.
Yeah.
Why are you jockeying Adrian Martinez so much?
Okay.
It's odd.
So I believe in this, what Tom Brady was preaching the other day, that some guys aren't meant to play right away. And some guys need to find a way to develop their skill set to translate better to the NFL. And I thought Adrian Martinez was an interesting college quarterback. He was super athletic. He could do a little bit of everything. There's a unique skill set that I think makes sense in the NFL. He then went and played in the UFL this past year, and he was the MVP. He was awesome. And I know the rest of that league is also like him, those in-between guys. They're not college players. They're not in the NFL. They're somewhere in the middle. But I like that he was really successful there and had an opportunity to play games and develop between college and now the pros. So there's something there, and I'd like to see someone like that get a real chance in the NFL again. Like we saw PJ Walker a while back. He had an opportunity where he developed in one of these off leagues, came to the NFL and got to start again. And it didn't really go well, but I think there's a chance that Adrian Martinez has something that works.
You said all of that very well, but what I heard is you don't really have a reason for liking Adrian Martinez.
Well, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him, but I do think that he's athletic. Like I think there's so many.
He's athletic.
There's so many guys in the NFL that never get a chance because, especially in the past, because teams aren't willing to adapt to their skill set. And I think what Adrian Martinez can do, maybe it's applicable in the NFL. Maybe he's on the bench and learns for a couple of years from Rodgers and whoever's next. I'm not saying he starts this year, next year, but I think he's got something.
What was the Knicks number in the market yesterday for Offensive Rookie of the Year? Because it's been volatile. It's been jumping up and down. Do you remember what the number was yesterday?
Yeah, I wrote it down. It was 5-1 at William Hill. It was 9-1 at DraftKings.
Okay, it's jumped up to 10-1.
Okay.
So I was just a little surprised by that. So Caleb Williams right now, Dustin, 135, plus 135, no surprise. Jaden Daniels, plus 475. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6.5-1. And Knicks, and this is important, I'm glad you brought up a shop in town that's 5-1. That's a 50% discount on what right now, or you get a 50% bonus there over at DraftKings at 10-1 on Knicks.
Yeah, look,
11-1 on Neighbors is not crazy either because they're going to target him 1,000 times a game.
Well, they have to, right? It's almost like an Amon-Ra St. Brown a couple years ago scenario where he's the best option. Although I do like Jalin Hyatt on the other side. My question is, can Daniel Jones throw it far enough downfield? Because Jalin Hyatt's a burner. I don't know if he can reach him, but Neighbors makes sense because he's going to get fed the ball a lot.
Coach him up, Dayball.
What was that big sigh? Well, that was a big sigh.
Because can Daniel Jones get him the football? A little dicey.
I mean, I'm not even saying, like, just throw him, like, basic routes. I don't know if he can reach how far Hyatt can run.
I can't believe I'm forced into defending that donk from Duke. But here we are. Little surprise. I thought the number was going to continue to shrink on Knicks. That's why I brought it up. There's a lot of buzz with Knicks in Denver right now. And his numbers in the preseason, to be fair, have been exemplary.
Look, here's what I tell you. I'm as guilty as anyone. I jumped on it at 13-1. It feels way too trendy.
A little trendy, huh?
Caleb's going to win the award, plus 135, and bore all of us.
Easily. It's going to be, and everybody won't bet him because it's pride.
Everyone's just going to be like, yeah, you know what? It was just too short. I couldn't get there.
Right.
I was hoping.
I don't like making money.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're going to go, but it was so obvious, I couldn't bet it. If it's so obvious,
we're talking the Bengals. The only person I know that's down on the Bengals is our buddy Mike Randall.
Yeah.
We'll see what Mike Pedraglia has to say. He covers the Bengals in Cincy. They're playing tonight as well. That's coming up next. Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Indy at Cincy tonight. Preseason week 3, Indy's laying 6.5 to discuss the Cincinnati Bengals. CLNS Media Bengals columnist and Jungle Roar podcast host Mike Pedraglia is going to join us. You can find him on Twitter at Trags. That's a great handle. T-R-A-G-S on Twitter. He's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. I guess I should start. Thank you, Mike, for the time. We should start with week 3 in the preseason as a betting network. And Zach Taylor has announced we're not going to see many starters tonight. Is that fair?
That is fair. They want to take a look at the back end of the roster. And I think for good reason, because having lost Miles Murphy for 4 to 6 weeks to start the season on Tuesday in joint practice with the Colts, having already lost Cam Sample, defensive end. That's just one position where the Bengals need to know what they have in terms of reserves, or do they have to go out before or after Tuesday's cut-down deadline and acquire new talent. I think that's going to be one of the big focal points tonight for the Bengals. Certainly another one is going to be their depth at wide receiver. I would anticipate their top receivers starting the season, but you never know. They'd like to take a look at what they have in rookie Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. He's somebody who could flash tonight and make a couple of big plays and figure in the outcome.
And Mike, as you know, expectations again sky high, which is great for a Bengals fan base, 10.5. on the season win total. But I'd like to start with you an overview on the Bengals. You mentioned the Holden with Ja'Marr Chase, you know, Higgins off season, Hendrickson off season. missing the offensive coordinator to the Titans. Like, can you give us an overview heading into the 2024 season on the Bengals?
I think, first of all, it starts obviously with Joe Burrow's right wrist. And from what I've seen in practice so far, he's been able to make most of the throws. For Joe Burrow, it's going to be a matter of pain tolerance, pain management. Discomfort might be even a better word than pain, but discomfort. He's going to have to get used to the wrist kind of feeling stiff, I think. And he has had to get used to it throughout training camp so far. But once he gets into a rhythm, playing every week, practicing every week, and that wrist improves, I think you're going to see the same old Joe Burrow. His mind didn't get injured last year when Jadeveon Clowney fell on him in Baltimore, but you know his wrist did. So I think his football mind will lead this offense at a very high level. I think the offense is more balanced. I think they're going to have a better run game, and I think they're going to have a better passing game to the running backs this year than they had last year or the last several years. In terms of the defense, Patrick, they have overhauled the secondary. They have brought back Von Bell, who has a very good track record here with defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. So they brought him back after 1 year in Carolina. They signed Geno Stone away from Baltimore. He had a ball-hawking year last year. So that, to me, is a significant upgrade on the back end of the defense. They have moved Dax Hill, who has apparently beaten out DJ Turner for the starting cornerback spot opposite Cam Taylor-Britt. They have a lot of depth in the secondary. The defensive line is the big question mark with this group. And I think, you know, B.J. Hill and the rest of the defensive front, they are going to Sheldon Rankins, for instance, the free agent they signed away from Houston. They are going to have to stay on the field for quite a bit of the first part of the season for this defense to reach its potential.
Mike Petraglia doing a great job breaking down the Bengals Jungle Roar podcast at Trags on Twitter. I want to stick with the offense. That was a tremendous breakdown. It seems like much the same. You know, Brian Callahan moves on, offensive coordinator, but Dan Pitcher, I believe Mike, was coaching the quarterbacks. Would this just be an extension where Pitcher kind of slides in because it's Zach Taylor's offense?
No, I think he's going to interpret what Zach Taylor wants from the offense a little bit differently. That's not to say that Brian Callahan wasn't terrific at his job. He wouldn't have gotten a head coaching job in Tennessee if he didn't have, you know, the track record he had with Joe Burrow and Peyton Manning back in the day with Denver Broncos. He wouldn't have gotten that job. But Dan Pitcher looks at this offense differently. It's not going to be as predictable, I don't think. And what I mean by that is you would see a lot of 11 formation, one running back, one tight end. Well, the Bengals went out and they got Zach Moss from the Colts, obviously. He's not going to play tonight. They have second-year player Chase Brown out of Illinois. Both of them can catch the ball, and both of them are very good in the pass blocking game, pass protection scheme. And I think with Mike Gesicki as a tight end, they're going to be able to do a lot more with their running backs and the tight ends in the passing game than in years past where they were very wide receiver dependent.
Now, the schedule, and Dustin was reminding me during the break that under Taylor, at least the last couple of years, they've gotten off the slow starts. The Bengals 10.5 on the season win total, 9-8 last year, Mike. If you take a look at the first bit of part of the schedule here, New England, Kansas City, Washington, Carolina, a nice little opportunity to get off to a hot start. Has that been mentioned at all around camp?
Yep, it has. No question about that, Patrick. They need to get off to a fast start. You never like to say, you know, when the schedule comes out, win, loss, win, win, do that. We'll play that game. But with the Bengals and their roster and the expectations, you can't help but think in those terms because the Bengals are 1-9 in the first 2 weeks under Zach Taylor in his first five seasons. That number has got to improve. There's no question. That's not non-negotiable, they say. And I think certainly the Bengals have the potential to start this season 3-1. And I think anything less than 3-1 would be a monumental disappointment.
I'm just going to go by what I'm hearing from you, Mike. It feels like the expectations, even from you, who covers this team closely, very high this year. You feel like they've made improvements on defense, and it feels like you're not putting Callahan down, but maybe a more complex offense. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would say versatile. I would say not as predictable. I would think that part of this strategy certainly would be taking some of the burden off Joe Burrow. Certainly you want the ball in your best player's hands, and that still is Joe Burrow. There's no question about that. But you want other players to be able to make explosive plays. That's what they have lacked the last 2 years in this offense. They just haven't had explosives. In 2021, we saw T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase game after game after game making big plays down the field, and not as many of those the last couple of years, and I think they want to get back to that. Chase Brown is certainly capable of doing that. The other thing, Patrick, that they have not done a good job of, they have not been able to run the ball in short yardage situations. They've been in the bottom five, I believe it is, in third and one and fourth and one conversions running the ball. They have not been good running the ball. They are a bottom third NFL team and running the ball in the low red zone inside the 10. Again, when the field shortens like that, it's a lot harder. I don't care who the quarterback is, to throw the ball in that area. You've got to be able to run the ball, or at least present the possibility you will run the ball. And the Bengals this year, I believe they will be able to do that much more efficiently.
2 minutes left. Mike, I think Burrow's poised for a huge year. I think he's the second best quarterback when healthy in football. I also am fascinated by the guy. In 2 minutes, can you give me an idea of what it's like covering Burrow?
Well, that's a tough question. Joe Burrow is a very calculating, a very thoughtful and introspective quarterback. He's very mellow. He doesn't let anything get him too high or too low. He does all of his expression on the field. When we are with him in press conference settings or even in the locker room at his locker, very low key. He likes to play everything down almost a boring, nondescript level. He doesn't like drama. And I think that helps him focus on the task at hand. He's in a very intense competitor. And, you know, having covered Tom Brady for about 20 years, there is that competitive fire that's underneath the surface. It's just, I think, the difference between a guy like Tom Brady and a guy like Joe Burrow is, I think Joe's a little more cautious in revealing a lot of his personality, and he likes to keep to himself.
That was a tremendous breakdown of the Bengals. I think I'm in on the Bengals over 10.5 after talking to Mike Petraglia. Of course, CLNS Media Bengals columnist, Jungle Roar podcast. Make sure you check that out at Trags on Twitter. Thank you, Mike. That was tremendous.
I appreciate it, Patrick. Anytime. Have a great night.
Thank you very much. I've done my research on the Bengals, and I do think they've specifically gotten better defensively if Burrow's healthy. By the way, they're favorites in division. We should come back. Let's come back and talk about the North and the AFC because they've jumped the Ravens. We'll discuss that coming up next here. Sharp Money. Big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Just a quick update on the Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas A's. We lead 3-0, top of 4 over the Rays. Now, we also, being completely forthright, I'm on the under 7.5. The big guy was on the A's, so I bet them both. And right now, here's how you play it as a bettor. What I do over, all right? So we're sitting top of 4. 3-0 A's. I've got under 7.5. Would I exchange my bet at this moment? The answer is no. I'm good. I'm keeping it. Now, runner on first for the Rays with one out. So I'm hoping for a DP here. Whoa. However, I'd keep it.
I think we all are hoping for
one of those. Take it easy. There's a reason. you understand? So, and another thing, and what I'd like to say this, and we're going to get to the AFC North. I'd like to call you out for a second. And you recently went in Summerlin, Nevada, to the A's affiliate. I believe it's their AAA team. Yep. It's a beautiful stadium over by the Walk Center, over by the downtown area in Summerlin, hanging out with Matt Brown. You went to a minor league game recently, and you did something that is unconscionable. And when I tell the audience what you did, I then want you to tell the audience what you had. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not pushing alcohol on anybody. However, it's not the 30s. This isn't prohibition. You're allowed to drink a beer. I pose this question to everyone, and then we'll get Dustin's answer. Could you, as a red-blooded American, these colors don't run, do not tread on me. Could you, in the year of 2024, go to a baseball game and not get a cold beer? Somebody's clapping in the background for the beer, and I like to hear it, okay? Yeah. First off, the answer is, you can't, even if you're a nun, if you walk into a baseball park, you order a beer. It's just kind of what you do in America. Now, Dustin, you recently went to the AAA affiliate in Summerlin. How did the beer taste?
I did not drink a single alcoholic beverage during my time there.
Okay. But you did eat.
Oh, always. I had.
And you had?
Two popcorns, and I had a turkey leg, and four Diet Cokes.
Right. And you washed it down with what?
Four Diet Cokes.
And you didn't drink a beer because you're on your diet.
Well, the problem is it's not the beer. It's what the beer leads to. So had I had beer, there would have been burgers. There would have been fries. There would have been carbs, pretzels, chicken sandwiches.
So you just have no control over your own constitution. One beer, and all of a sudden you lose all your bearings.
Do you think?
But you drink a bunch of fructose and a Diet Coke, which makes you fatter than one beer.
There's no fructose in Diet Coke. I might get brain tumors.
You're right. It's healthy. I'm sorry. I was misspoken.
No.
Diet Coke is completely healthy.
Better for weight loss. But you're questioning whether I have self-control. And
why do you always lecture me about weight loss? You're plus 300 pounds.
But that's what
Diet Coke is horrible for you.
I'm trying to explain to you, you're questioning my willpower while looking at me in a screen. How are you not aware that I don't have willpower?
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. Touche. But I'm just saying, bro, you've been doing a great job. You lost like 50 pounds. I'm not going to say the exact amount. If you're going to go enjoy a nice night in Nevada and go to a AAA ballpark, you have to get a beer. Stop being like that. It's actually embarrassing to the show.
I don't
even know if it's a show, but it's embarrassing.
I'd rather have food than alcohol every time, obviously.
Beer's not alcohol.
It's alcohol.
It's called a baseball game. It's wheat and barley.
Oh, God. I'll get a Heineken Zero next time.
I think this might surprise you. So we just talked to Mike Petraglia. And I don't know if you came. There's a couple of things that came away from the conversation thinking. Mike is a very kind man. But I don't think he was a fan of Brian Callahan's offense.
No.
That's just what I took from it. And he then covered up his tracks and said, well, he did a fine job or he wouldn't have gotten the head coaching job, which to me sounded like a shot at Callahan. So Callahan's now down with the Titans. I'm telling you, I just read through things in people. That's my skill. And he said, that guy stinks. Because then I asked him about the gentleman that's been with the Bengals for many years, was coaching Burrow last year, Dan Pitcher. I said, well, he moves over into the OC role. It must just be an extension of Callahan and Zach Taylor. And he said, no, hard stop, paused for 3 seconds, and said, this offense is going to be better and more complex.
He did.
Diverse.
He did.
What I heard was the offense is going to be much better because Brian Callahan's not there. And I like that as a better. That's the information I need.
Well, and he also said they're going to take the burden off Burrow. Burrow has had to be so perfect every step of the way in his career so far. I like this idea. Make things a little bit easier because he's so accurate. He makes great decisions. I agree with you. Number two on quarterbacks I would take in the NFL. So
agreed.
That element as well as at play here where, I mean, I think we all kind of thought this, that Brian Callahan benefited from having Joe Burrow, so people think he's better at coaching than he really is.
And what else did we hear from the conversation? Major upgrade getting rid of Joe Mixon.
Well, there was a lot hanging over when you have Joe Mixon on your team constantly. He's a fine football player, but he's a running back. what are we doing? Like, putting any resources towards the running back position, we can go find three guys that are free agents right now. They could fill that void very easily.
I guess what I'm saying is when you're listening to the beat writers who spend more time with these teams than anybody, you got to listen in between the words, because part of the beat writer's job is to stay employed. They're not going to trash anybody, but you have to listen to the sentiment and understand what he's trying to tell you. I said 10.5 on the Bengals win total, and you could tell he's over that. They won 9 games last year. Burrow went down week 11, big guy. So the expectations are sky high. You take a look at the market right now. I think it might surprise some people. It's a 5-cent difference. But the Bengals are plus 140, the Ravens plus 145, and the Browns at 6-1. Now, and I'm going to, before you finish your thought, because I already know what you're thinking, the bet is the Browns at 6-1 in division. I agree with you. That's the value play. However, maybe a surprise that the Bengals are a slight favorite over the Ravens?
Well, I think it is just because you just never know about Joe Burrow. And the Ravens are consistent under Lamar Jackson. They just make the playoffs every year. What they do when they get there is a whole other story. And I think you make the case for both the Bengals and the Ravens. If their quarterback goes down, season's pretty much over. Then on the Browns side of things, we don't know if the quarterback's going to get started. I want to hear from Kevin Stefanski in this because I am intrigued by the Browns at 6-1. I think everything else.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Before you play the Kevin Stefanski cut, I need to have some caffeine.
Okay.
He's going to put me to sleep. This guy's boring.
This is offensive. Two-time coach of the year. This is disrespectful. Kevin Stefanski yesterday met with the media and had this to say about Deshaun Watson and his arm.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into Seattle plans just yet. Deshaun was a little sore. I decided to just hold back a little bit with him, but not overly concerned. Yeah, I'd say general arm soreness, but again, he practiced. I held him back. He could have gone. He's feeling fine.
Little concerned.
You're a little concerned?
I don't buy the words he's saying. Like the tone and the facial expressions are not matching.
He was curt.
He was the dog in the meme with the room on fire saying everything's fine. If everything was fine, everything would be fine. If everything was fine, he'd be playing. We'd see him more. This is a carryover from last year, and so much hinges on Watson's health. They added Jerry Jeudy to this offense. They're very deep at wide receiver with weapons now. They brought in Foreman as a complement to Chubb in case Chubb's not all the way back. They always have a great O-line. They always have a great D-line. That defense was the best at defending the pass, which is the single most important thing a defense can be in today's NFL. I am very concerned as someone who wants to fire 6-1 on the Browns to win this division, because if Jameis Winston is playing quarterback, it's just not happening. And I don't even think Watson has to be all the way back. If I can get 75% of Deshaun Watson, I think the Browns can win this division with that defense, with the weapons they added. But if Watson's not able to go, it's over. Rip up the tickets.
To say this isn't a 9-1 team is blasphemy. Their win total is 8.5. Yes, on the Cleveland Browns to make the postseason is plus 145. Really only added during the offseason. And another addition would be Chubb.
And they never have to worry about continuity on defense again. Jim Schwartz will never be a head coach, and he will just be an obsessive
defensive coordinator.
He's awesome. And this defense was great a year ago. I love the Browns, but I need Watson to be 75%, and they can win this division.
Hard to love the Browns because they're boring. But you like their chances.
Yeah, on paper, it all works.
You know what my crass friend used to call a young lady that maybe he wasn't attracted to, but he felt like the rest of it was pretty good?
What?
He used to say she's a Cleveland Brown. Not a great helmet, nice jerseys. We continue Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Aaron Halterman joins us next on the program.